For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. You know, sometimes when Jesus speaks in parables, he tells a long story, like the Good Samaritan, the return of the prodigal. And then sometimes a parable can be a word or a phrase, a sort of shimmering image, like the retrieved sheep or that found coin. But whether they are long or short, parables are mysterious. They're not like the fables in Aesop with pat takeaway morals. Instead, they put us to work. They invite us to wander around. They often invite us to interrogate ourselves and our established values. Jesus uses them more to challenge than to console. You know, I'm not sure that the images we are given in Matthew this morning would make anyone's short list of parables. These complaining children in the marketplace, and then this easy yoke, this light burden. But I'd like to wander around inside of them with you for a few minutes and see what's there for us on this July 4th weekend. That's been not quite like any other July 4th we've ever lived through. So first, the kids in the marketplace. To what will I compare this generation, asks Jesus. It's like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn." Now, so often when Jesus refers to children, these little ones, he's drawn to their pure faith, their instinctive grasp of justice and compassion. Not so with these particular children this morning. The image is one of anger and complaint, of children who have not had their way, who are disappointed that their expectations have not been met. "You're not playing the games we wanted you to play." Now, just before this, Jesus has received a message from John the Baptist, who has been thrown into prison for his rebuke of Herod. "John didn't meet your expectations," Jesus is telling the crowd. "He didn't play your game. You complained because he was too austere, too serious. He wouldn't dance for you. Now I'm here, and you are uneasy because I happen to enjoy my cocktails. I happen to be friendly with the fork. I want everyone at the table with me. You're uneasy because I'm not obviously pious, that I'm not in mourning." Like those little people in the marketplace, Jesus is implying, you have a lot of growth ahead of you. This generation is perhaps too quick to evaluate and to dismiss. Perhaps not mature or secure or relaxed enough to encounter a stranger on his or her own mysterious and sometimes startling terms. This generation. He's asking them to grow their frame of reference, to release preconceptions. What he's really asking them to do is surrender a sort of will to control. A will to control. You know, one of the umpteen Hollywood classics I've watched myself during quarantine has been The Philadelphia Story with Katharine Hepburn and Jimmy Stewart and Cary Grant. Perhaps you've seen it, and perhaps you remember a sort of quick, delicious exchange between Stewart and Hepburn that gets right to the heart of what Jesus is saying in this parable of the children in the marketplace. "You've made up your mind awfully young, it seems to me," says Hepburn to Stewart. She has just accused him of being a snob. Well, 30's about time to make up your mind," says Stewart. "The time to make up your mind about people," says Hepburn, in perhaps one of the greatest movie lines ever. "The time to make up your mind about people is never." The wisdom in that exchange, like the wisdom in the parable of the children in the marketplace, is that part of holy living is honoring the mystery in one another. We can't scoop up others into our own agendas, even when those agendas might seem noble or just. "White people love to talk about racism," said Byron Rushing to me once, some years ago. Byron served for many years as a state representative and is now president of the Roxbury Historical Society. He's one of our diocesan reps to General Convention. And I share his observation with you this morning, with his permission. "White people love to talk about racism as long as they get to control the conversation." As long as they get to control the conversation. I still take his point. Control can't be the point in any conversation I have about race, especially with another whose race is not my own. That's because in holy encounter, we can't approach with our minds already made up, like the children in the marketplace. God gives the growth. God gives the growth. And that growth so often comes in the form of an idea or challenge from another who is not myself, who is unlike myself. The idea is encounter and discovery. Encounter and discovery. Think about it. Was the best Christmas morning simply that morning when you got everything on your list? Or was there some surprise that broke in and transformed the day into something beautiful and unforgettable? Could you have sculpted the face or set the timbre and tone of the voice of the person you love the most? When exactly was it when I began to confuse blessedness with the idea of having my own way? "How can you ever have imagined," says Jesus to the crowd this morning, "that you could custom order your own Savior, or that that Savior would align precisely with your own agendas and personal tastes, even if those happen to be good or noble?" We are built to find our deepest joy in connecting and not in controlling. And maybe that is the easy yoke, the lighter burden. You know, just before our lesson this morning, in the run-up to Matthew's 11th chapter, Jesus has been actively healing all over the region, the bleeding, the blind, the deaf, the diseased. Now, healing may be a sign of power, stunning displays of holy virtuosity, but the deeds that are being revealed and that Jesus references this morning are also, and perhaps most pointedly, about the healed, through their healing, being returned into human community. Sick people are so often reduced to a he or a she and objectified by the well. They're a he or a she instead of a you. That's the point made by Michael Battle and Tony Campolo in their book, The Church Enslaved, which a number of us have taken up this spring. And we do the same to each other, they submit, across lines of racial difference. Reduce the other to a he or a she instead of a you. We need to look into each other. We need to look into each other and not at each other, Council, Battle, and Campolo. The yoke is easy. The burden is light. When we claim our true nature, which is that we are made for community. That we are individuals and that we are built also for community. You know, the Declaration of Independence highlights that very relationship, first in its opening and then in its closing. There are these famous words, perhaps quoted too often in the opening sentences, about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Quoted less, but with no less urgency, are the final words of the Declaration. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor. We mutually pledge to each other. In other words, there is no independence without interdependence. No independence without interdependence. We cannot be ourselves without each other. Freedom is not autonomy, but room to grow into the image of God, a three-part God, which we understand as a community. Freedom is not autonomy, but the chance to accept others, always on their own, sometimes mysterious terms, as they are called to accept us. Freedom is not private medicine, but public health. Freedom is not private education, but equal access to learning. Freedom is not private dining, but public feeding. Freedom is not public security. Freedom is not private security, but public safety. The yoke of Jesus, the light burden of Jesus, is life in beloved community. And in the beginning, God said that it was good. God built us for good. And what is more joyful than claiming our first and truest nature? This is the yoke that is easy, the burden that is light. Will you pray with me now? God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who hast brought us thus far on the way, thou who hast by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray. Lest our feet stray from the places, our God, where we met thee, lest our hearts, drunk with the wine of the world, we forget thee. Shadowed beneath thy hand, may we forever stand true to our God, true to our native land. Amen.